From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. Ask not for whom the bell tolls. Ask for whom the bill tolls. I'm Bill Curtis, and here is your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you, everybody. Thank you so much. We have a really interesting show for you this week. Later on, we're going to be talking to Valerie Jarrett, who not only was a senior advisor to President Barack Obama, but is the longest-serving senior advisor to a president in U.S. history, every minute of all 8 years. That brings up an interesting question. What dirt exactly does she have on him? We'll be sure to ask her, but first, we're going to ask you some questions, so give us a call. The number is 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Now, let's welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you are on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, Peter. This is Michael Wozniak from New Britain, Connecticut.
Michael Wozniak from New Britain. I know where that is. What do you do there?
Well, I'm a financial solutions advisor.
What is a financial solutions advisor?
It's kind of a fancy way of saying a financial advisor that lives in a bank.
Oh, okay. Because a financial solution to me would be like, you need more money. Well, welcome to the show, Michael. Let me introduce you to our panel this week. First up, it's the co-host of the podcast, Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone. It's Adam Felber.
Hi, Michael.
Hi, Adam.
Next, it's a features writer for the style section of the Washington Post, Roxanne Roberts.
Hello, Michael.
Hi, Roxanne.
And a writer and actor you've seen on Veep, and also playing the Veep, Mike Pence on The President Show, it's Peter Gross.
Hello.
Hi, Peter.
So, Michael, welcome to our show. You're going to play Who's Bill this time. Of course, Bill Curtis is going to recreate for you three quotations from the week's news. Your job, correctly identify or explain just two of them. Do that, you win our prize, the voice of your choice, on your voicemail. You ready to do this?
I am never ready.
That actually, I think, is the right mindset for this. It's very zen.
Sounds like a great financial advisor.
All right, your first quote is the President of the United States reacting to another country's provocation.
I have a feeling, and I may be wrong, and I may be right, and I'm right a lot, that it was a mistake.
That was the President acting as the voice of reason. Really? After who shot down an American drone this week?
Iran.
Exactly, Iran, yes. If you were really into that retro 80s vibe of U.S. versus Russia, you were going to love this reboot of U.S. versus Iran. You know, Madonna's on tour right now. They're making a new Bill and Ted movie. The only more 80s thing you could have right now is a businessman named Donald Trump driving something he runs right into the ground. But you can tell the Iranians are kind of enjoying the nostalgia, too. They're even selling hats in Tehran that say, make death to America great again. So
you gotta laugh, because you have to laugh. It's just fun, and it's just fun to relax and just be into it all. It's just fun.
It's fun. It's good time.
It's really
fun.
Great.
And it's fun to trust the people in charge and just to know that it's going to work out.
So things have been getting tense, as you know, for a while.
You think?
Yeah. First, the U.S. withdrew from the Iran deal. Then Iran allegedly attacked some oil tankers. Then Trump accused Rouhani of getting a bad facelift. No, wait, that was Mika Brzezinski. Then this week, Iran shot down a U.S. drone aircraft. And the president, as you heard, instead of responding with his usual fire and fury, said, hey, it was probably a mistake.
Yeah, he suggested it was some underling that was acting above his station.
Exactly.
And then later in the day, Iran was like, no, we meant to shoot that down.
Yeah.
Here's some maps, some video, here's a little scrapbook we put together.
Yeah.
I also, what was great was that it's a little like, you know, he said, she said about, like, where the drone was. We said it was international waters. They said it was over their land. And our proof was just a Google Maps thing with a little blue dot. That
yeah, we
said
dropped
like,
a pin.
That said, like, this is where the launch came from, and this is where our drone was, which was like, oh, that looks official. But you also, like, you could just make that. And then Iran's response was like a hand-drawn map that was like missile here, and then like the Gulf and stuff like that. It was really like, I don't believe either of you.
Yeah. And the funny thing was, on our map, it said underneath, you knew it was made by Google, because it said that it was a 37-hour drive.
Yeah.
To get there.
Now I use Waze. I have to say, when I'm shooting down drones, I always use Waze.
Oh, yeah, but that'll take your your missile on so many weird turns.
I know, but you get there 2 minutes earlier.
Yeah, but why does it matter 2 minutes?
It's 2 minutes. That's time you could be spent shooting down another drone.
Now, why is Trump trying to keep this war from happening? Well, he probably took a look at Iran. It's anti-gay, anti-woman, anti-Jew. And he's like, whoa, what are we doing? Iran is my base. Michael, your next quote is from a former advisor to Barack Obama.
We knew the primary wouldn't be all puppies and rainbows forever.
He was talking about 23 people who finally started going after each other this week. Who are they?
Oh, the candidates for the Democratic primary?
Yes, the Democratic presidential candidates. Very good. This week, the various presidential candidates on the Democratic side finally started attacking each other. It was a real mano-a-mano fight. Well, actually, because there are 23 of them, it was actually mano-a-mano-a-mano-a-mano-a-mano-a-mano-obedo. So Joe Biden, the front runner, bragged about his ability to get along with people he disagreed with, like, he said, segregationists from the South. It is unclear why he did this, because Democratic voters are probably not looking to replace Trump with someone who gets along with racists better.
Well, that's how you dig into his base, is you take away some of those people. Because you drop the segregationist names and people are like, well, now I'm listening, Joe Biden.
Tell me more.
Yes, tell me more.
Oh, bless his heart. You know, you just want to, like, everybody loves Joe.
That's, by the way, that's what you say about a cousin who's, like, kind of, you know,
well,
touched.
But,
yeah. But to be fair, conveying to voters that he has the ability to reach across the aisle and make Congress get along and be effective again is a great strategy for 1986.
Anyway, we're all going to see this play out because the debates are next week. There's going to be two of them, 10 candidates a night. The first question from the moderator is going to be, what is your name again?
They should, when they do the debates, they should be like, and just go down the line and please say your opening and then your closing statement.
Yes.
Because that is all we have time for.
Here, Michael, is your last quote.
Spikes, head horns, and phone bones.
Those are nicknames given to a supposed new medical phenomenon, a bony spike growing in the back of many people's heads entirely due to what?
Looking down on your phone.
Exactly right, Michael. It turns out that looking down at our phone so much might actually be causing a bony spike to be growing in the back of our heads. You can feel the bone if you press down to the back of your neck. It's right underneath the Apple logo. Oh. And the theory is this is happening because we're constantly looking down and our head is like growing a little extra bone to help the muscle support the weight of our hanging head.
Of but you course, know what? It's not a bone. It's an antenna.
Is it?
Yeah. Mine's 5G.
That's good. It's not a problem. There's a way to get around this. What we can do is we can all stop staring down at our phones. We just hang our phones on the phone bone of the person walking in front of us.
What if we, instead of look down, you know how they have those headsets where you can put cans of beers on
yes,
the side?
Yes, yes.
Beer helmets.
Straws.
Beer,
okay, so why don't...
Yeah, they're called beer helmets, Rox. They're not called headsets.
Headsets.
Okay. Maybe do one where the phone just kind of comes out and it hangs
in front of you. Exactly. Like the old thing they used to do with Mule of hanging a carrot out there.
Yeah, so people are just like, walking towards their phone. I love how, like, it's always, like, this is such a human thing that we're doing now. It's like, don't change the problem. Like, let's innovate our way out of these neck things. So, like, the fact that you're even like, let's just make another thing that you can put on your head that brings your phone in front of you to prevent this. Supposed to, like, put the phone down. And you would have bones growing out of the back of your neck.
I'm a realist. Nobody is... No. All right. Realistically.
Hold on a second. Somebody just called me.
Bill, how did Michael do?
Well, he said he was never ready, but boy, he was ready this time. He got them all right.
Congratulations, Michael. Well done.
Thank you, Peter.
Thanks for calling.